So for today's prophecy update, I want to begin by sharing with you what the Lord ministered to me while I was gone. As many of you know, God provided, as he's always so faithful to, for my family to go to New York. And we did so for my 10-year-old daughter, Sabia, who was invited to audition to sing America the Beautiful at the upcoming U.S. Tennis Open. This was my daughter's first time off this island, her first time on an airplane. She was born 10 years ago at Castle, and this was her first time leaving the island. And it was my first time leaving in 2 years. The last time I actually left the island was when we went to Israel back in May of 2015. While there, we visited the Brooklyn Tabernacle. As I've shared, this was a bucket list thing, as it's been referred to. I've shared in the past how God has used Pastor Jim Cimbala mightily in my life since back in the early 90s. And more recently, not just me, but my 19-year-old firstborn son, Elias, who met Pastor Cimbala while we were there. And he was very gracious and took the time to lay hands on my son and pray for him. One of the most powerful prayers I've ever heard. I'm just weeping like a baby in the background. It didn't help when Pastor Cimbala asked Sabia to sing at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. When he asked her, I was speechless. And, you know, for me to be speechless, that's quite something. So this was Sunday after third service, and he invited her to sing Tuesday night at their prayer meeting, which we did attend, and she did sing, and she sang Kanaka Vai Vai a cappella in the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Oh, and by the way, I think you know this, I've shared this. At their prayer meetings, their Tuesday night prayer meetings, over 3,000 people in attend at the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting. On Sunday morning, we had to stand in line to go to, I've never in my life had to stand in line to go to church. And in the service, it was the first time that I was actually able in many, many years to sit with my family in church. So I was so nervous. Her mom and I were just going to throw up, you know, we were just, are you kidding me? So she gets up and she just, it was such a blessing. And I posted it on our YouTube channel, on her YouTube channel. I'd be more than happy to send you the link to your friends, to your neighbors, to your coworkers. It was unbelievable. And so after Pastor Cimbala goes up, gives her a hug and says, this is going to be my soloist at the Honolulu Tabernacle that I'm going to start. I was like, no, you're not. She's my soloist. But it was just, I mean, off the charts. And I share this because this particular trip had a powerful and a profound impact on me personally. From the conversations with Muslims in New York, and there are many, to the fellowship with believers in Brooklyn and everything in between. I was blessed beyond words. The English language does not have the words to adequately express how powerfully I was impacted. I have to say that it was a rather eye-opening experience. And I say that because I believe that I now have a much better understanding. You know, it's living in Hawaii, we're sort of isolated and insulated on this island, and it's good sometimes to get off the island and go to the mainland, and especially the East Coast, very different there, very different there. But I have a, God opened my eyes, and I just have a better grasp, really, a better understanding, especially as it relates to Bible prophecy. And more specifically, as it relates to the recorded warnings from Jesus himself, one of which is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. I want to read verses 39 through 40. Jesus says this, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." And then he says this, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Here's another warning, this one in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I'll read verses 2 and 3. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening.' Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." As we were walking in Times Square, and if you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, it is, you know, you think, well, yeah, listen, Waikiki, no. Times Square, whoa. I mean, the LCD, LED, whatever they are, these are huge screens. They blanket all of these buildings. And you're walking like this. That's if you can walk. We're holding on to, you know, Sabia's hand for life, for dear life. And all of the people are, you know, gawking and walking and they have no idea. And it really struck me as these massive lit signs that blanketed the buildings were there to get all of those people coming to them. And this is what the Lord ministered to me. If you look past all those signs, what you'll see instead is that the signs of the times are blanketing this world, that Jesus is coming for us. And it will be as a thief in the night. And it will be at an hour that is expected not. It was grievous. Especially on one particular night when we were walking back to the hotel room. And I've got Sabia's hand and we're walking through and I'm seeing things that I don't want her to see. And I think those of you who have been there know what I'm talking about. It's very grievous. I just think, oh Lord, they have no idea what's coming. They have no idea. They're looking at those signs as lit and as large as they are, but they're not looking at these signs that point to your soon return. What are those signs? Well, in the interest of time, and I think it's kind of ironic, it's called Times Square. Times Square. I'm just going to take the time to draw your attention to one specific sign. And it's the prophecy in Isaiah 17 concerning Damascus, Syria, becoming a ruinous heap, so much so that it is uninhabitable. While we here in the U.S. are distracted by everything that's happening, President Trump's latest tweet. By the way, when we were there, the hotel was close to proximity to Trump Tower. I thought, why not? So I decided to go by myself. I walked to Trump Tower across the street, and I thought, you know, this is pretty interesting, and you got all these, I mean, I don't know what kind of rifles they were, but they've got guys with bulletproof vests and helmets, and they're very big guns. They're not, you know, they're like AK-47 kind of things, right? I'm across the street, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to take a couple pictures with my phone. Next thing I know, I am swarmed with police officers. And Artie wasn't there to help me. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute, I'm an Arab, and I'm I'm standing there across. So I realized, you know what, I better go back to the hotel. This may not bode well for me. And by the way, some of the people I talked to in New York, they do not like him at all. At all. One of our drivers said that basically in New York they believe that he'll make it probably 2 years. Really? Well, that's really quite interesting. That's if we're still here in 2 years. Well, I won't be here, but anyway. But all of these distractions, and meanwhile, there are these significant developments in the Middle East, and they have profound prophetic implications, especially for Israel. And I want to start with this article from Ynet News. It seems that Russia is accusing and even threatening the United States for, quote, preparing a provocation in Syria. A Russian foreign ministry spokeswoman said that Moscow has received information that Syrian rebels have already fabricated video material to accuse Damascus of a chemical attack. Did you hear about this? She did not elaborate. The White House has said Assad is preparing for another chemical attack and warned that the Syrian ruler will, quote, pay a heavy price if he unleashes it. Well, as you might imagine, this is making Israel extremely nervous, and rightfully so, and it's evidenced by this Jerusalem Post article in which they told Russia, quote, we're concerned your tensions with the United States might endanger our border. In an interview with Jerusalem Post on how Israel maintains warm ties with Russia despite disagreements on Syria, Knesset Speaker Yuli Edelstein, speaking with Russia's foreign minister, said, quote, Israel has its own red lines, and it's not a secret that we can't tolerate the shooting from the Syrian side into Israeli territory, and we definitely cannot tolerate the presence of Hezbollah or Iran. It gets worse. In addition to Israel warning Russia, Syria is warning Israel. Does this sound a little bit like what Jesus said in Matthew 24? That one of the signs that will be an indicator of his soon return will be that there will be wars and rumors of wars, better translated threats of wars, warnings. As I see what's happening outside of our bubble, and again, here in Hawaii, I don't mean to be derogatory, but I know for me as a pastor here in Hawaii, I can get into this bubble. And sometimes you just got to get out of that and look past all of that to see what's really going on. And it's riddled with threats of war. Everybody's threatening everybody, exactly as Jesus said they would. According to the Jerusalem Post, the Syrian military threatened Israel that should it launch any further attacks on Syrian army targets, Israel will have to take the responsibility for repercussions that can ensue, which I believe supports this notion that the Damascus prophecy becoming a ruinous and uninhabitable heap may in fact come at the hands of Israel, which would set everything in motion. You'll forgive the pun, that would be the trigger. This threat, quote unquote, comes after the IDF struck targets belonging to forces loyal to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's regime in response to the errant fire that hit northern Israel earlier in the day. Last Sunday, that was the 25th, was the second day in a row that the Israeli-Syrian border has been affected by a spillover from the ongoing conflict in Syria. You don't even really hear about it. Oh, by the way, on the very same day, the Jerusalem Post published another report that Netanyahu was warning Iran over Syria's involvement after the aforementioned Golan exchange. A day after the spillover from Syria, which prompted a retaliatory IDF strike, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stressed that Israel will not allow the Islamic Republic of Iran to establish a permanent presence on the Golan border. So what does Iran do? Oh, they establish a presence on the Golan border. What did they do? Oh, you didn't hear about this? Get this. They're flying their flag and sending a message that, quote, we are coming. Can you say Ezekiel 38? Quoting the Jerusalem Post, there is now a visible presence of Iran just a stone's throw from Israel. It's not the only Iranian symbol here. On a hill overlooking houses being constructed in Matula is another huge poster with a photo of the Dome of the Rock. The face of Ayatollah Khomeini glowers down over the dome, and Hezbollah has written, we are coming, in Hebrew and Arabic. They've put a giant Palestinian flag next to the poster. The message is clear and disconcerting. You'll forgive me for turning an abrupt corner here, but to me, this further reinforces the belief that the Isaiah 17 prophecy concerning Damascus will be the catalyst for the Ezekiel 38 prophecy. In other words, when, not if, Damascus, Syria becomes a ruinous and uninhabitable heap, which I believe we are on the cusp of seeing happen, Russia, Iran, et al., all who stand at the ready will attack Israel exactly as Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophesies. Can I say it this way?
It can happen at any time. It can happen at any time. And here's the unknown. Nobody knows when the rapture will happen as it relates to Isaiah 17 and Ezekiel 38 happening. Some suggest that the rapture will happen before. If that's the case, I'll say it again, don't buy green bananas. You may not, right? Some suggest that it might be in concert with, and others suggest that it could be shortly after. Whatever the case, when you see these things begin to come to pass, Jesus said, Luke 21:28, look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draws nigh. Let me say lastly, that with all the wars and warnings and threats of wars that are happening now, the fulfillment of these and other prophecies can happen at any time now, as a thief in the night, at an hour we expect not. If you'll just bear with me for a couple of minutes, I want to present the gospel in all of its simplicity before we partake together of communion. And I do so because I make no assumptions that everybody that's here in this service, in this wonderful church that is my privilege to pastor, and I know I say that all the time, but I got to tell you, I really missed you guys last week. Yes, I was at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, but I really missed you. But I make no assumptions that everyone here today is born again of the Spirit of God. And so I want to just take this opportunity to share with you the gospel. And I want to do so by way of the ABCs of salvation, as it's called. And this is just, again, a childlike, simple presentation of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. The A in the ABCs is for admit that you're a sinner, or if you prefer, acknowledge that you've sinned and that you're in need of a Savior. Romans 3:10 says that there is no one righteous, not even one. In verse 23 of Romans 3, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us were born sinners, which is why we all must be born again spiritually. The B is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, like in the introduction, as we just saw, to the churches in Galatia. Paul says that Jesus Christ, our Lord, whom God, our Father, raised from the dead. That's the gospel. To believe in your heart. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That's pretty clear, pretty straightforward. Well, this brings us to the C. And the C is simply for call. Call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10 also says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And here's why. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And Romans 10:13 says it all. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, I implore you to do so today. Please stand and we'll pray.